to managing your MS symptoms with technology. This webinar and telelearning series is brought to you by Kendu Multiple Sclerosis and the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. It is the second in a four-part series looking at employment issues and MS. My name is Laura Coyne, Programs Manager for Kendu MS. Your moderator this evening is Barbara McKean, the Director of Employment Programs and Services with the National MS Society. Kendu MS is an innovative provider of lifestyle empowerment programs for people living with MS and their support partners. Through our programs, we empower people to manage their disease and move beyond their MS by adopting active and healthy lifestyle behaviors. Please visit the Kendu website, mskendu.org, to learn more about Kendu MS's online and nationwide in-person programs. Kendu MS is excited to partner with the National MS Society to bring you 15 webinars in 2016. At this time, I would like to introduce Barbara McKean. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you, Laura. Good evening, everyone. The mission of the National MS Society is to help people affected by MS live their best lives as they stop MS in its tracks, restore what has been lost, and end MS forever. We're pleased to have you join us in tonight's program, and you can explore other society programs, services, resources, and connection opportunities at thenationalmssociety.org. Topic for tonight's webinar is assistive technology, otherwise known as AT. AT can sometimes make the difference between someone being able to work or not. The number and scope of AT supports available has increased tenfold over the years. And here tonight to share how AT can help you are Mark Sarabian and Anna Lenhart. Mark Sarabian is an assistive technology practitioner and instructor for Pace University's Graduate School of Education. He has utilized assistive and instructional technologies to directly serve the educational and vocational needs of thousands of individuals with disabilities for over 29 years. He developed and presently operates athelp.org, a free assistive technology support program in New York City. Anna Lenhart is a project manager at Able Data. She ensures the implementation of Able Data's yearly strategic plan and provides oversight of Able Data's call center activities. Her skill sets include technical assistance, policy analysis, technical writing, and web-based resource development. Ms. Lenhart has a Master's of Public Health from the George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services and a BA in Communications and Health Sciences from Loyola University, New Orleans. So I will now turn the program over to Mark Sarabian. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you inviting me into your homes and your workplace, if that's where you are today, to talk about assistive technology. I've seen how innovations over the past 30 years have really complemented so many people's lives, and I hope what we share with you today is valuable for your particular needs. And just a note to the people who are listening and not observing on the web today, the slides from today's presentation are available to you. Hopefully they've either been mailed to you or you can get them afterwards. And if you don't have access to them, you can't see them or won't be reading them, I'm not going to talk and read every slide. I'm going to add a little bit more. So hopefully it's valuable to you. That's really all I want to share with you. First off, let's start with what assistive technology is. And this is a federal definition that we use for children and adults, and it's really important to understand that assistive technology really is anything. And the definition is any item which increases, improves, or maintains the functional capabilities of a person with a disability at home, school, or work. So the key thing here is anything. Assistive technology started out with a whole bunch of people just hacking at tools and seeing how they could help people in their daily lives. We stole touch screens from the business world, and we took pens that recorded what people said from the college world. These things weren't invented for people with disabilities. We just knew that they would be very valuable. I'm going to jump back for a second to who are the users of assistive technology. The users are anyone who faces a disabling challenge in their environment on a daily basis. Innovative use of these technologies provides individuals with greater physical access to home and workplace tasks. So really it's about helping a person fit into their environment again and do the things that they always wanted to do. It's about participation. I think if I were to define assistive technology really simply, it would be increasing somebody's participation in a particular environment. They can directly assist memory, organizational needs, address sensory needs such as auditory or visual supports, and even in some cases, not as often in MS, but it might augment somebody's communication, their ability to communicate with others when it's weak or impaired. Let me move to the next slide. It basically fixes access. That's the way to look at it. AT is about fixing your interactions in a particular environment. In this case, we're talking about work. How can it help you maintain or improve your work on a task that you need or wish to accomplish? So to determine how to find the right assistive technologies, as you all know, there's so many technologies out there and they're growing at an exponential rate. And it can become very costly for you to go and just try and buy and so forth. What I really want to encourage you to do as someone that's assessed thousands of individuals is to first determine what your particular needs are. You must determine what are the specifics of a task that you want to perform that is now challenging and what parts of it are hard. Once you determine what those particulars are, then you go seek a tool that might address it. Don't just listen to someone that says, oh, by the way, this is the best tool for memory, or this is the best tool for taking notes in the workplace. That's okay to listen to, but you really have to assess what your particular needs are, because MS affects everyone differently. And so for me, an AT search begins with asking questions like, what environment do you want to make accessible? What tasks do you want to complete? What interactions with others require support? And what tasks do you want greater control over? And then once that's done, ask yourself, what technology do I wish existed to help with such a need? I really want you to wish about it. Go, well, I imagine it could be this, because I assure you it probably exists. We're in a world where you can talk to your computer, where your eyes can control every task on a computer. So because we're in that world, your imagination probably won't be that far off. Now.
Mark, I just wanted to ask and reiterate what you were saying and encourage individuals when they're looking for AT devices or solutions to really keep an open mind thinking about and selecting what AT might be most appropriate, and to remember that while there's high-tech solutions, there's also low or no-tech solutions. There's DIY options that are available. So in thinking some of this through and what you might need to make an accessible workplace or to manage your symptoms in the workplace, to remember that there's a whole range of options out there that could be fit into your needs.
Exactly, and that's why you really need to know, most importantly, what your particular challenge is that you're facing and to be able to define it. Because as Anna's saying, there's so many different angles to look at to find solutions, but you have to know what it is specifically that you want to solve. And on this slide, finding the right technologies, really what's important is to know that one size does not fit all. And so I really want you to remember that although you might get good ideas from your peers, your needs are really what's most important here. The areas in which AT has value are pretty broad. They can support activities for daily living. A lot of things in the ABLE data database that Anna's going to tell us about really can support a person, especially in every aspect of their daily life, from eating to actually, writing utensils. School and workplace accommodations such as computer access, note-taking, and even access to leisure, believe it or not. So people want to continue with their hobbies, and a lot of tools will help them do so. The AT field itself is huge. Tonight, we're really going to talk about the things that are starred on this list: adaptive aids for daily living needs, augmentative communication systems, environmental control systems, home worksite modifications to a small degree, and computer technologies, which is really going to be the emphasis of my talk. We also dabble in our field in prosthetics and orthotics, wheelchairs, seating positioning, but that's not really the emphasis tonight. Now, we have a little survey that we'd like to collect from all of you that can see this online right now. I'll read it to the people at home. If you could perhaps click on this survey, and we'll get the results immediately, which AT products are you most interested in hearing about? You may choose more than one answer. Now, Anna and I will try to modify our talk to that, but, you know, we'll do our best. So if you would click on what things are of most interest to you, and we'll try to emphasize those things this evening. We'll give you a few seconds. Now, this is my simple little website. It's not that helpful, but it's a good link for the things I'm talking about. More importantly, at the end, we'll look at ABLE data. But just to start off, I divide up computer-based AT in four distinct areas. There are device-based tools, and what's really important about that is that I need you to know that you already have assistive technology in your homes. Your phones, if they're smartphones, your computers, any technology that has an interaction component that is computer-based allows you to modify it in its settings to be more available to you, and I'm going to show you some examples of that. Then there are cloud-based tools, tools that are built into the Internet, the web browsers that you use, and those tools are also free that help support you in your daily work. There are dedicated tools, tools that were actually designed for helping with specific disabilities. And then, of course, DIY or user-designed tools, very innovative uses of tech that perhaps these tools weren't meant for this, but they are being used in that way now. The type of tools that we were talking about tonight, as you already saw, were literacy, visual supports, hearing supports, writing, time management, memory, communication, and physical access to technology. Let's start with some literacy supports. Now, the first level I was going to talk about are built-in, like I just mentioned. In any device, be it a phone that's an iOS or an iPad, that's Apple's iOS or iPad and phones, Android, Macintosh, Windows, there are built-in tools so that text can be read back to you. That doesn't mean that a person can't read, but perhaps they get visually confused as they're looking on a page. Or perhaps they just want to hear what they've written to make sure that it's what they wanted to say. That's built into your system right away. And once again, if you go back to my website and you look at built-in tools, it'll guide you right to how to set this up on any device that you have. There are literacy supports built into web browsers. In particular here, I'm talking about the Chrome browser. Chrome is made by Google. And this Chrome Google browser has not only built-in supports like all browsers, but also has apps and add-ons and extensions, which is a little complicated, but I have a website at the end for you to go and look and learn about it. And these app-type tools can read pages to you, can read anything to you, can highlight, can simplify text, can summarize text when something's too overwhelming to read. And most of them are free. There are dedicated tools for literacy, such as these apps that I've listed on this page, like Dream Reader, Notes, Co-Writer, iReadWrite. These tools can, once again, not only read to you, but can define words, can help you find synonyms, and can also allow you to put in, actually write and do word prediction so you can type faster. Visual supports were some of the first things built into any computers. Every single operating system that is on the market right now has support for visual needs, from magnifiers to narrators that will read whatever's on the screen to you. Even high contrast. We see a lot of people that have visual challenges. They don't want a bright screen. They can invert it and have a darker screen so that it's a little less strain on their eyes. Those are built into all operating systems. We have cloud-based tools for visual supports in every single browser made. Google's Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Opera, Internet Explorer. They all have built-in tools to help you with visual needs. We have dedicated tools such as apps. One of them that I love is SuperKeys, which is a very large keyboard that can be used for people even who have fine motor issues. Claro Magnifier, KNFB Reader, which is an app that's a little expensive, but it will read anything that you take a picture of with your phone. And one of my favorites is Be My Eyes, which allows a person with visual problems to tap a volunteer on the web using the same app to help them see something at home. Let's say you can't see what's on a pill bottle, or you can't see something in the office or at a store. You can dial in really quickly, and someone can be your eyes and read it for you, to you. Hearing supports are also built into just about every device. Here's a picture of how you can connect hearing aids to your iPhone to support a person. There are a lot of visual supports for people with hearing loss that pop up and give them warnings about things going on their computer or things they need to do, etc. One of the hearing supports that I've tried with my wife, who has a hearing impairment, actually, is called Ava. And I think my sister, who has MS, might appreciate this. I want to try it with her. It's a device where all of your friends are sitting at a table in a meeting or at lunch, say, and what happens, pardon me, I'll take a drink of water. What happens is the folks are all having multiple conversations at the same time, and it's really hard to follow. Well, if everybody has their phone on and this app on, then what happens is it listens to the person whose phone is next to them, and it records everything being said in the room so that you can follow all the conversations in the room visually and see who said what. It's a brilliant device that's just starting to emerge in the market. There are a lot of writing note-taking supports out there where keyboards, for example, this one built into an iPhone, built into an iPad, even an Android, has a microphone where you can just talk and it will type what you say. There are note-taking supports that are dedicated, such as the Sonoscent Audio Note Taker, which is a tool that allows you to have a presentation on the left, say someone's giving a PowerPoint, your notes where you're typing on the in the middle, and on the right, a recording of everything that's said in the room so that everything is synchronized at once, so that later when you go back to your office, you can listen to everything that was said in the meeting at what point and thereby record, you know, everything that was important. That tool is a little more expensive than AudioNote, which is a typing tool that also records what's said in the room at the same time. There are tools for note-taking such as the LiveScribe Pen, which is a pen that allows you to write on special paper in a notepad as you're taking notes. And let's say you can't write fast enough to take the notes in the office, but you're also trying to pay attention to the person speaking. It records what's said while you're writing. So let's say you only got half of the sentence down. All you have to do is touch that sentence when you get back to your office, and the pen will read back to you what was being said while you were writing that sentence so you can finish your notes. You never miss anything, no matter how little writing you get accomplished. It also helps a person with their ideas organize their ideas, sketch them out, and talk to the pen while they're sketching it. Later on, they come back to the idea that they sketched, and they can listen to all the thoughts that they had. From a time management perspective, there are a lot of tools built into devices, such as Reminders by Apple. There are cloud-based tools, such as Google Keep, which is kind of like a big stickies board, which will be on your phone and your computer and your iPad or tablet. There are more sophisticated, dedicated tools for time management and organization, such as Inspiration, where you can map out all of your ideas and the things that you want to accomplish in a visual map, press a button, and it turns into a complete outline of all of the ideas in an organized fashion. And then it can also export itself into a PowerPoint because you have to give a presentation at work. So it's a great way to stay organized with all the facets and even project management as well. For memory supports, of course, like many of us already know, there are tools built into our phones where we can actually just press a button and speak, and that will go into our reminder section and play it back for us later. I have a lot of memory loss, and that's actually what I use. I'm so dependent on my devices to really support me and to prompt me later. Not only do I ask it to, you know, record the reminder, but to tell me later what it is. There are dedicated tools that are even better, such as Evernote. Evernote allows an individual to do an audio note, to take a picture of something. Say you want to remember where something is or what something is. You can take a picture of it. You can type it in. You can upload a web page. It puts all of these multimedia type tasks that you have in one place in the folders you design so that you can organize them all. I especially use it for articles that I want to read but don't have time for, and then I siphon them off to different folders for later reading and support. There are a lot of augmentative communication tools out there, especially now that devices that used to cost $8,000 are now apps that cost $200 on iPad tablets or Android tablets. These tools are a bit more complicated, and I'm willing to talk to anybody after this about those particular needs. But here's an example of a free one that's out there. And the free ones just really lack quality voices and perhaps even some editing features. But there are affordable ones. Most importantly, if someone really needs to augment their communication, they need someone like a speech therapist or an AT person to really guide them in structuring of this. Because when you think of the thousands of the words in your head, when it comes to augmentative communication, it's about time and math. How fast can that person communicate with a device? And you have to be able to represent that with a tool that can augment their communication quickly. So it's really about timing. Now, for physical access to technology, once again, there are a lot of built-in tools. This particular one is called, pardon me for a second, this particular one is built into the iPad, and it's referred to, oops, sorry, I just lost something that I wanted to read to you guys. It's referred to as assistive touch. So if you notice at the bottom of your iPad and your iPhone, that there's a small circle there that you can press down on, and it brings you to the home screen. Some people physically have a hard time touching that. So this turns that physical button into a small digital button, a little circle, and you can just touch it on the screen and it will go to the home screen. It can raise the volume up and down when you can't manipulate the buttons on the side of the actual phone or the iPad. With regards to physical access for computers, in the workplace, what's really important to know is that just about any physical movement can be used for access. Any. You don't need to know all the devices that are out there, all the tools that are out there. There are so many. What you need to know is that any body part, any degree of movement, any degree of control can control every single aspect of a computer. There's a gentleman I worked with from MIT who had ALS, and all he could move were his eyes. So we set him up with an eye tracking device, which allows him to program computers for MIT. So I would say if he can support himself at that job with that device, basically we could support anyone. So you don't need to get into the particulars of what tools out there. You need to know what that person's strengths are, and then we can find the appropriate tool. There are a lot of low-tech and mid-tech solutions out there, from splints to keyguards to on-screen keyboards to keyboards that you can actually change yourself to any configuration to do any task you want it to do, to head trackers and, like I said, eye trackers. So physical access is really not a problem for any computer-based system. One of the more common ones that you've heard about is voice dictation. Voice dictation has improved markedly. I use it because I have arthritis in my hands. I use it probably for 3/4 of my work. You can use voice dictation to control every aspect of a computer, except turning it on, which we can automate that too. But more simply for the rest of us, you can do it to write emails, to write essays, to write, you know, papers that you need for work. And tools will work in conjunction. You can have a recorder, like a Panasonic handheld recorder, record all the things that you want to write, plug it into your computer, and that will transcribe it all. One of the tools that I use, of course, is Dragon Naturally Speaking. It's an excellent tool. But there are free tools built into Windows, free tools built into Mac, not as good, but good enough for people that just need to record simple text. And, of course, Dragon for the phone is free, and it's as long as it has an Internet connection, it has a pretty accurate listening ability. So who can help you looking for these many tools that are out there? Basically, you're going to start with friends, of course, after you figure out what your needs are. And like Anna said, you're going to, you know, encourage people to come up with some of their own solutions, DIY. But in our field, if you need more formal evaluations, I prefer you to seek out people like occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech therapists, and what I'm called as an ATP, an assistive technology practitioner, people that are actually trained in the field, rehab workers, and sometimes even educators who have a background in assistive technology and can guide you to the right tools and make a match. Things typically do cost money. We don't want you wasting money. We want you to get the right help. Once again, my website is at athelp.org, and those Chrome tools that I was mentioning, Google Chrome browsers tools, some of them are at the chrometoolbox.com. And once again, we can send this information to you if you're not seeing it at home. If you want to get deeper into assistive technology, either for yourself or for somebody you support, if you're a professional or a family member, the best conferences I've listed here are ATIA.org, CSUN.edu, Abilities Expo here in the New York area, New Jersey, ResNA.org, and closingthegap.com. Those are some of the conferences where for the past 30 years we have been discussing all of these tools. I'm going to hand this over to Barbara and Anna.
Thank
you guys. Sure.
Thank you so much, Mark. That was great information. And before I turn the program over to Anna, I just want to comment, because I know we've been getting a lot of questions on the side about people saying that, you know, they're trying to write down this information and, you know, it is a lot of information, and I know Mark tried his best to go as slowly as possible, but there is a ton of information on here. Just remember, it's going to be recorded, and the PDFs will be available along with the recording, so you can go back and you can listen to it over and over again. And so don't worry so much if you know, you didn't get down every little thing tonight. So on that note, I am going to turn the program over to Anna Lenhart. Welcome, Anna.
Great. Thank you so much. Like you heard, my name is Anna Lenhart, and I work at New Editions, which supports ABLE Data for the National Institute on Disability, Independent Living, and Rehabilitation Research, located in the Department of Health and Human Services. And what you'll see on your screen right now is a polling question that asks if you've ever visited abledata.com. It's www.abledata.com. And I think a majority of you online have started answering, and it looks like many of you have not been to the site. So that will help me kind of frame up how we move forward with the conversation. So let's get to the results here. Okay. So many of you have not been to the site, so I'll tell you a little bit more about it. ABLE Data is a free resource. It is a database for unbiased and comprehensive information on assistive technology. It includes very high-tech devices and AT solutions. It includes things like heated gloves to help deal with temperature sensitivity in the workplace. It includes using Subaru, which is kind of a grown-up Play-Doh, on different pieces of equipment to make it more compatible. So we really do address the range of assistive technology. We do have a workplace-based search function, as well as AT across the needs and across the lifespan of all of our users. And ABLE Data is a great place to go if you're an individual looking for assistive technology, for parents or caregivers, for healthcare providers, employers, we have counselors, so it's a great resource for a large number of audiences, and I'm happy to talk to you about it today. So we have over 44,000 products. We have almost 5,000 companies. We also have a variety of other resources available. One that might be of particular interest for this webinar is that in the spring, we are going to be releasing an info product on workplace assistive technology and accommodations for individuals with autoimmune disorders, including MS, and that will go through the different types of limitations that individuals might experience in the workplace and talk about accommodations as well as assistive technology that will help manage those symptoms and limitations. So in addition to our website, we also have a call center for individuals who don't have access to a computer or would feel more comfortable talking to someone. We are open 5 days a week, and we have Spanish and English language services. And we are more than just a website. In addition to the searchable database, we have news on events. We have blogs where we interview different AT professionals or AT providers. We have informational bulletins. We have info products that focus on either a specific type of AT for a target population, or we talk about, AT in schools, AT in the workplace, so maybe AT that's best fit for a particular setting. And those are all on our website. There's a little blue box on the right-hand side where you can click through and explore some of those resources in addition to looking through all of the different products that we have on the site. I wanted to take a minute and talk about NARIC, the National Rehabilitation Information Center, who is a partner of ours. And they are an online library of disability and rehab research literature, and they have over 70,000 articles. If you haven't visited the site, I recommend checking it out. It's a great place to go to learn more, whether you're an individual, a healthcare provider, an AT professional. It's a great place to kind of stop and see what else there is out there. And NARIC offers individuals their website. They have information and referral services, which are offered over the phone, via email, and through live chat. You can also subscribe and set alerts so that you can see information as it's added based on your preferences or interest areas. So, again, when you have a second, check out abledata.com and then our partner, NARIC. So I wanted to talk about our search results and how you do a search on our website. We have it set up so that you can do it by keyword. So for this webinar, I typed in multiple sclerosis. You can also do it by category. So you can look at aids for daily living. You can look at assistive technology for low vision, for communication, for the workplace. You can also out by vendor. So you can go through the website in a variety of different ways. We have current products as well as archived products for individuals who might have older AT but are interested where they might still be able to acquire it. We don't endorse any of the products, but users on the site do rate them based on their own personal experiences. And we do have people in the call center who can help walk you through a search if you're having any issues. So of particular interest, if you're looking at managing MS symptoms in the workplace, we have a great section on environmental adaptations. So that ranges from, if you have photosensitivity, temperature sensitivity in the workplace, so under the desk heaters, heated gloves, different lamps. There's a lot of things in there about cognitive limitations and cognitive aids. A lot of the devices that you'll find in here have been mentioned already by Mark. We have a little bit more information on our site about where to get them that supplement what he's talked about in his presentation, as well as the user rating system, which you might be interested in checking out. We have different ergonomic equipment, information on wheeled mobility. We have AT for body weakness or fatigue. We have communication devices. So there's a lot of things on our website that you can search by those categories that would be very helpful for helping manage MS symptoms or associated limitations in the workplace. Here you'll see a couple more of the categories that we have on the site, as well as the number of products that we have under those categories. So for AIDS for Daily Living, we have over 10,000 products, over 10,000 assistive technology products or devices or solutions that might be interesting to check out. For workplace, we have around 1,300, and those are ones that are specifically for the workplace. That doesn't mean we only have 1,300 workplace-appropriate assistive technologies. And then we also have things beyond the workplace that talk about everyday life, like recreation, gardening, housekeeping. So we do kind of include a vast range of products on the site. Environmental adaptations might be another category that you would be interested in checking out. And you can search through the site, like I said, through these categories. I saw there was a question about AT that might be helpful for tremor. But you can go onto the site and search by keyword tremor and then filter it out, so tremor workplace. I know that we have a spoon on the site that helps people who have tremor in their hands feed without having as much filth. So I think there's things like that on the site that you can search based on your personal needs, or maybe if you get a description or a recommendation from your AT provider, you can come on the site and maybe find out what your options are or see what's available given that recommendation. There's some additional information here about ABLE data and our website. We post a lot of information to our Twitter account at AT Info on Twitter, as well as NARIC, who is our partner. There's some additional information here that you can see. And I was going to try to see if it works, if I could share with you live what the ABLE data site looks like. So I'm going to see if this works out. This is ABLE data. This is our website. You'll see that we have a list of sample products here that you can check out, and those refresh every time you're on the site. Here is the keyword search. You can look by the product status. You can select how many items you view on the page. In the little blue box here, you'll see some of our info products and blogs, so physical therapists, what they do and how they use AT or Fitbit as AT. There's some things about assistive technology for a would-be virtuoso who is blind or has low vision, where do new AT devices come from. So there's a lot of information here, as well as a lot of events. We also provide the information on our site in a variety of different languages. So if English isn't your first language or you're more comfortable using the site in a different language, you can do so. You'll see that you can also look by product maker or seller by the different types of resources that we have on the site. So spinal cord injury, stroke and brain injury, there's assistive technology equipment loan programs. And then you can also go back and do it by product category, which I touched on earlier in the presentation. So here's where you can go through and see, I'll go down to the bottom for workplace. So products to aid people with disabilities at work, the office equipment, tools, vocational training, accessible workplaces, vocational assessments. You'll also see all the categories under wheeled mobility. So it's an interesting site, and we have a lot of good information on there. If you can get on and check it out, I think that you'll find it worthwhile. And that's all I have for today, but I think my contact information is on the presentation, and I'm always glad to answer any questions about the site.
Well, thank you, Mark and Anna. That was just such great information and quite a bit, actually. I'm sure we have a lot of questions. Some of them have already been coming in from our audience. So we're going to start our Q&A, and I'm just going to remind those of you on the computer to pose your question in the chat feature on the left side of your screen. And please know we can only answer questions related to tonight's topic. So for those of you who are only participating by phone, you will have an opportunity to pose any questions that you have through a dedicated email that we will share at the end of this presentation, and we will get back to you on those questions. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do that this evening, but we will get back to you on any questions you have if you do pose them in that email. So I do have a lot of questions. I know that Mark has been already responding to some people. So if you've already answered that, just let me know. But let's start. Somebody wanted to know about the pen that takes audio tape of conversations. The name of it. Did you already respond to that?
Yeah, I did. It's a LiveScribe pen, and the one that I like the most is called the Echo. But the newer ones are just called the LiveScribe. The newer ones require you to use a phone or an iPad in addition to the pen, and the phone or the iPad records the sound. The older one, the Echo, allows a person to just have the pen record. I kind of wish they would stick with just the older version, But you have to remember, a lot of things in our field are commercial products. They weren't meant for the uses that we're using them for. So the commercial people just don't care. For example, important thing for you to know is that dragon dictation, voice dictation, was not invented for people who have disabilities. It was invented for the mainstream public. So when I mentioned to them years ago that people with speech impediments, their voices were affected, couldn't use their tools anymore because they changed them, they really didn't care. So unfortunately, when we're using commercial products, they don't always serve our needs in the long run. But the LiveScribe 10 is an excellent solution, especially for the office. And it's about $100. You can get a refurbished one for about $70 up to about $150, $180.
Great. Thank you, Mark, on that. We actually have a couple of questions about how to pay for these products. Someone wanted to know if there's help to pay for these apps and products, and someone else wanted to know if they're covered by insurance or offered at a discounted rate. Do you feel like you can respond to that, either Anna or Mark?
You want to jump in first, Anna?
So that's kind of outside our wheelhouse. We can help refer people to their insurance company or their state Medicare or Medicaid plan. But as far as advice on how to cover the cost, we can't really provide insight into that. We can let you know how much things are and probably help you find lower cost options. But that's kind of the extent of our expertise.
Right. And beyond that, so beyond your private insurance, Medicaid, Medicare supports that are out there, especially for communication devices, those are typically paid for because they're medically necessary. Things that are medically necessary are usually things that are covered. For workplace, I'll just speak for New York. We have Access VR, VESID, it used to be called. Every state has a work opportunities type program, some of them a little more generous than others. And what those programs try to do is help a person go back to school, stay in school, or stay in work, or find a job. And they're supposed to have supports that allow you to get the technologies you need if you financially can't pay for them yourselves to keep you in school, to keep you in work. But I can't promise they're all excellent. I think Barbara could tell us more. Do you guys have more information on the JAN network, the Job Accommodations Network, and perhaps their resources too?
Well, Job Accommodation Network is a great place to go for finding out information on accommodations. And they might have some information on where to get funds for that. But as Mark said, every state has an Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. If you just remember that, vocational rehabilitation, they call different things. Yes, New York calls it Access, but it's your state Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. And they, if you're not able to afford a particular accommodation, they are supposed to be there to help you. Now, there are limits to how much they can spend, but generally, if your company can't afford it, if you're working and your company is not able to afford it, and it's for work or for school, then your Office of VR should be able to help pay for it.
And I've been surprised by how many office places actually reach out to support their employees and keep them working. And to find a lot of these tools that are not too expensive, but are at least too expensive for the people that are working there. You know, like
right.
The pen itself is a little expensive, and the office perhaps could help with that, or something like Audio Note Taker as a tool to take notes in the office as well.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention, if you do go on the Able Data site, we under the resources, we have a list of alternative financing programs throughout the different states, as well as workplace accommodation and AT programs that might be helpful. So if you wanted to check those out, those are available to you as well.
Great. Thank you both. Now, I have a question here. Someone is saying they want to take away their desktop computer and give a tablet with a touchpad, but his sense of touch isn't always good. So what could she do? Do you have any suggestions?
I guess it depends on what it is that you want to use the computer for. And I'm going to back up for a second. A lot of people are saying things in the chat area about how do I handle, you know, my ability to, as you're saying, touch or concentrate or focus or that. And although those are the challenges that people are facing, it keeps coming back to what is the exact task that you want to complete. For example, in this person's question, it would be, what is it that you need to do? Do you need to write? Do you need to access certain things on the internet? Do you need to take notes? Those specifics are important because then we'll direct you to what tool is useful. For example, if your sense of touch isn't great, I wouldn't know, but perhaps an adapted pen that has a capacitor on it so that it can be used instead of a finger on a screen. Is that possible? Could that be mounted on a splint for your finger to guide it? Would you like what's coming out soon, and it might be out on the new iPad, I'm not sure, but it's coming soon. It's haptic feedback. I think I'm saying it correctly. Maybe Anna can correct me, but when you touch something, it gives you a little jolt, a little feeling back that you know you've touched it. Believe it or not, these screens that are flat can actually give you feedback. That's why going to a tablet might not be a good idea, because a keyboard and a mouse can actually give you more feedback. But I think I'd have to know more details.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark. Someone wanted to know, where do you find access to the supports in the phone?
So it depends on the phone. But I'll just use the iPhone for an example, which is a common phone. All of these things are in the settings area. I don't have an Android phone in front of me, but it is listed once again on my website for built-in features. But they're mostly in the settings area, and they try to make it very distinct. Like Apple calls it in the settings area, general, and then accessibility. They actually call it accessibility. And then there you'll see about 20 different features of things that you can play with. I advise you, if you don't have a significant visual deficit, to stay away from VoiceOver, because that'll read everything to you and drive you a little batty. So there are a lot of wonderful accessibility tools in the settings of most phones. Actually, Android has more than Apple, believe it or not. It's just not advertised as much.
Great, thank you. Someone wants to know, regarding Able Data, what was the information regarding fatigue that was mentioned?
Yeah, I just sent her a message back. I'm hoping that it posted. But we talked about there's different AT that helps deal with body fatigue or muscle weakness in the workplace, and I sent Renee a link to the list of results that come up when you put that in.
Okay, great. Thank you. Someone wants to know if you could list specific tools and resources that are geared toward helping people with a cognitive disability, which is a combination of problems like processing speed, memory, and brain fatigue all at the same time.
Once again, you know, I'll say that although a person is experiencing those things, it's in relation to what kind of task. And so if they could reply again and perhaps tell us the type of task that they want to complete, because there are a lot of false promises out there. Luminosity made a lot of false promises, even though some of it is good, about how they could help someone with memory, focusing, attention, et cetera. And I don't want anybody to be duped by a lot of, you know, that's the new push for these tools to help people with their cognitive challenges, especially in the baby boomer generation, where people are all feeling, including myself, that our memories are going and we want to improve our minds. So a lot of false promises. I think it's, what is a task that you wish to complete that's hard? And maybe we can find a combination of tools that we combine together to support all the specific things that you just said. But I think we have to be far more specific on what's the task, if that's helpful. I don't know if it is.
Perhaps, you know, going onto Able Data's site and looking at some of the more specific things that are there under the cognitive section.
Yes, and maybe seeing which ones support it and putting them together.
Mm-hmm. Someone wants to know if Ava is an Apple app.
Yes, it is. Developed by a young man whose parents are deaf, and he wanted them to be able to participate in family conversations when people didn't know sign. It's a brilliant app, and it's growing quite fast.
Okay. The person who asked that question about cognitive issues said, for example, I have voice to text on my computer, but when I need it, I can't remember how to access it, or I can't remember where I made a note of how to use it. Another example would be organizational tools that help remind me that I need to access a particular program in order to accomplish a particular task or maneuver on the computer. So it involves memory, or rather the inability to learn and retain something despite repeated use.
I have to say, it's a really good question, because speaking as an AP person who has to know how all these things work, I forget how half of them work and I need reminders. So I don't know if this is helpful, but what I try to do is put such information in a place where I know it's going to be right in my face. And I don't know if this is helpful, but what I used to do when I had, you can change the background of your computer pretty easily, the desktop pattern. So what I would do is I would write down all of the ways I solve certain problems, like how do I turn on text-to-speech, how do I activate this, how do I make this work. Write them all down with someone and take a picture of it with your screen. You can do a screen capture on the computer, or you can literally take a picture of it and make it the backdrop to the computer, so that when you turn on the computer, you'll have all the information of how I access these tools and why I access these tools and what they each do. I know that sounds like a low-tech solution, but that's the fastest one that I could think of, if that's helpful.
That's a great idea, Mark. I know for myself what I do, and I don't know if anybody has sticky notes on their computer, but I put all kinds of sticky notes. It's an electronic note that comes right on your computer, and it's usually on most programs. And you just write a little note, and you can always keep it there. So I keep those kinds of notes to myself, when I could just pop them up when I need them, in terms of how to remember this or even passwords.
It's also great to have things automated. For example, you can actually have a computer turn all your features on that have been preset. Maybe a friend's help you preset all these features, and off. And the same on a phone. You can turn all the features on or off. So if somebody else in the house is using the computer, or in the office is using the computer, with a couple button clicks, you could turn all your particular features on, or you could set up a different user that only has those features on, even in the office place. So the user could have all of these preset accessibility features that are launched at the startup. That's the key word, at the startup. And so Windows or Mac, and when the computer turns on, all those tools are in place for the person, so you don't have to remember how to turn them on. But you might need the sticky notes to remind yourself of why you're using each tool to benefit you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Someone would like to know if Amazon would have a lot of these products.
Anna?
Amazon has quite a few of them. When we post them on the site, we usually associate them with a vendor, and the vendor will have the information on where it's sold. We do know that a lot of our users start with Amazon, since they do have so many things. So I think for some of the apps and tech stuff, it's worth checking out. Some of the more medical devices might be a little bit more difficult to find there, but the manufacturer that we link to will have a list of different vendors.
And also, I've got to say, on a side note with Amazon, Amazon Kindle is really one of our favorite, you know, devices in the United States of downloading books and so forth. But Amazon has actually blocked some of the accessibility features, and that's really bothersome in their apps, in their devices, and even online. So if you need text-to-speech read to you, that feature is actually blocked. So that's kind of a concern. Don't always assume that everybody wants to give full accessibility to us. We're still fighting for it. You could actually, it'd be great if people started demanding that of Amazon.
Yeah, that would be great. Someone wants to know how a search on scooters and transportation be helpful on ABLE data.
I saw that question, and I don't know if the listener is still on and can kind of clarify. If I search, we have a lot of different types of mobility and chairs on the site, depending on what an individual might need. We have ones that stand. We have a lot of different mobility devices. So I'm not sure if the question is asking how it would be helpful specific to the workplace or how it would be helpful just for the individual. But normally we find that our AT searches are helpful when someone has a recommendation for AT but would like to know what their options are, or is interested in finding AT for a particular image or issue or limitation and needs some ideas of what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
So if the individual is looking for different types of chairs or mobility devices, I think it would be helpful to give you options, user ratings, and manufacturer information to compare the different devices. Or if you're looking for ones that might be specific to a certain limitation, you can also search that way on the site, which would also be helpful.
Great. Thank you. We have a question here that I'm not sure is so much AT-related. It may be more OT-related, but I'm going to throw it out to you guys anyway. What can help with intention tremor for carrying, serving, and eating food and writing notes that have to be written by hand, as in an affidavit?
So,
Kenita
Watson, I think. I emailed a link to the different products that we have. There's a weighted marker that we have. There's a spoon that we have for tremor. There's a couple of different devices that we have in our database. I don't know if any of those would be helpful.
There's also some research being done, and I was trying to find it on the web. I've lost the article. It's probably in my Evernote, so I'll go look through all my articles. But these folks have developed something for people with Parkinson's. We want to learn from a lot of other disabling conditions that it attaches to the forearm and it gives feedback. So just like the spoon that Anna was mentioning has a gyroscope in it, and it kind of balances out to compensate for the tremor so someone could actually eat soup. It has this device goes on the forearm, if I'm not mistaken, and every time the hand or the arm moves in a certain way, it counteracts it. It balances it out. I'm not sure if it's on the market yet. I think it might be, but it's coming. And so there are a lot of supports. And so I think we would learn from the Parkinson's chat areas about tools like this.
Great. Thank you. I have another question. Somebody wants to know how they can find Ava in the App Store.
I may have spoken too soon because a lot of developers bring me their tools, and if it's not in the App Store right now, I'll have to check. It's coming because I just got an announcement they were doing another launch. It's coming from France. So that person could actually email me at my website, and I'll try to find out if it's in the store yet. I'm going to look right now while we're talking.
Okay, great. Someone wanted to know if you had any ideas on how AT could help them find a job.
Well, I think AV, first off, makes you marketable in the sense that it allows you to compensate for whatever challenge you're facing so that, you know, you can get the task done. Someone was saying that they had to take a typing test for their job and they only had one hand that could type effectively. And I guess the issue here is, would that employer accept the fact that you're excellent at voice dictation and that you can actually type faster? I, for one, can type faster and with better grammar with my voice than I can with my hands. So I think it's more about not finding a job with it as it is making you marketable to the employer, saying, yes, I can do the job. And that might take a good conversation with people, once again, of determining what are the tasks that you need to compensate for, what tools are there, and then walk in with that confidence that you have those things taken care of. I hope that's somewhat of an answer.
Great. Someone asked, are there groups that share solutions, like a support kind of group, web addresses that you might have or something like that?
Well, I would assume CanDo is a – does CanDo have such an operation? But, you know, your local MS chapter could obviously help people get those conversations going locally. But every state has an assistive technology agency that has federal monies to support it so that people can discover what tools are in their area. And they might have people who are chatting and discussing with varying challenges. And don't forget, we're not really talking about MS today. We're talking about a challenge that a person faces. It could be a person with Parkinson's, a person with a traumatic brain injury. It could be anyone, a person with a learning disability, a person who is dyslexic, a person who's blind, and a person who's physically impaired, all have the same disability when it comes to a book. They can't manipulate it. So the disability is in the task, what they can't do. So you might want to, like we said, look at a Parkinson's group to find out more about tremor support. You might want to look at a dyslexia group to find out about literacy support. So we don't want to just stay within the MS community. We want to look at everywhere people face challenges. And those conferences I mentioned often have places where people exchange ideas and so forth. And you can join either for free or maybe like $50 for a year to get into these chat rooms with other people talking about how technology solves things. Also consider learning from school systems and from children, because so many children face the challenges that you are all facing as well for any developmental, developmental disability they might have. So we have to learn from other groups too. And that's how I do it. I'm just listening to everybody.
Great. Okay. Are there any other questions? We have a couple more minutes. Looking to see if anyone else has posted anything. Someone wants to know how AT can assist with getting to work with a scooter and find the right medical supplier to obtain the right scooter. I'm not sure if this is your area of expertise, guys. It may be more for a physical therapist, but let us know if you have any thoughts.
Anna, ideas?
Yeah, I don't know if I have any ideas for that one.
I think that probably would be probably a discussion with a physical therapist.
And I want to say something, too, is that, my sister's taught me this. She mentioned how she went into Walmart once. I think this is what she did. And she borrowed one of their scooters, and I don't know, Walmart or Home Depot. And when she drove, she thought this would be a good way to get around. And when she drove in, she was overwhelmed by the visual space that she was driving into. So it's not just that a person has driving skills or that they need to use a scooter. It's also about all the other facets of the challenges they're facing, that whether or not a scooter is a safe tool to drive. So it's really not just I have mobility problems, I need a scooter. It's, are any of the other things I'm facing going to affect the way I use that scooter, what kind of scooter, the stability of it, driving down a sidewalk, curves, all of these factors involved. And a PT or someone that specializes in that would really be the best person to ask.
Right. Okay. We have another question. Someone wants to know, is there something similar to Luminosity that you guys like? Ah, I hear laughter.
Sorry, I dropped my headset.
Oh, I thought it was laughter. Okay.
No, I dropped my headset. Luminosity just made a lot of big pitches. And I have to say to you that I don't know enough about, the field of neurology where we're talking about really trying to improve memory and so forth. And a lot of people are making false promises. But I have to say that what we do know is keeping the mind active. And having worked with a lot of elderly people with iPads, I have to say what I find really fascinating is people don't want luminosity. They want to play cards. They want to do what they've always done. So when we gave an iPad to a person in her 80s, what she ended up doing with it was playing all the things she did when she was a kid. She played cards, she played music, she drew, she did that. So it's about keeping the mind active, and there are so many games and activities out there that keep someone really focused. And Luminosity is making all these promises, but I think it's really about reading reviews of how other people have seen improvement. I knew a person who had a traumatic brain injury, and she claims that Luminosity actually helped her recover from that injury. Another person with a stroke made those claims too. It's growing fast, but as long as you're not being, charged exorbitant amounts of money, I think you're going to have to try light versions of all of them and see what's best for you and what helps. So there's just not enough data out there to stand behind everything, I don't think, yet.
Right. Great. Well, thank you. And I think we're about to wrap up. Mark and Anna, I just want to thank you both again for such an informative program. I know I learned a lot about some new technology that can make my work a bit easier, and I'm sure that our participants found a lot of this information hopefully helpful to them and may be able to incorporate some of this into their jobs now to make their work a bit easier too. And I pass it over to Laura.
Thank you so much, Barbara. And I really want to send out a big thank you to Mark and Anna and reiterate what Barbara said. This was such an informative program, and I love the Q&A part. So thank you guys for all your information. And thank you to the participants for really sending in some great questions. At this time, I would like to inform you of some additional resources that you might find informative and helpful. On the CanDo website, mskendo.org, you will find our archived webinars, including part one of our employment series, Navigating Career Change, Working with NSS as Possible. We also have our e-news and library articles, including an article on managing your employability with MS. You could also submit a question to the Ask the CanDo team, which will be answered by our team of MS experts. I think at this point, Barbara is now going to tell us about some of the National MS Society resources.
Yes, thanks, Laura. I wanted to highlight some of the National MS Society's resources dealing with employment. We have a variety of employment brochures, including a win-win approach to reasonable accommodations, Should I Work, and other titles not listed here, including information for employers. Employment Matters is comprised of video segments about key employment issues and a toolkit on job searching. The website listed here, nationalmssociety.org/employment, is full of employment information, including disclosure, accommodations, and additional information on career change and resources. And if we did not get to your question this evening, particularly if you were on the phone, but also anybody that was on the computer and we didn't get to your question, feel free to email your employment-related questions to email address, employmentquestions@nmss.org, and we will be sure to follow up with you.
Thank you again. And one other thing I want to mention is that the next presentation in our webinar on telelearning series will be on Tuesday, March 8th, at the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It is titled Your Whole Health, Your Whole Team, Managing Your Complex MS Symptoms, and it will look at how treatment decisions are made. I also want to mention that we have two more parts in our four-part employment series. So on March 15th, we'll be talking about the Complete Guide to Social Security Disability, and on March 29th, we'll be talking about home-based employment, what employers want. So for those of you who are participating live tonight, you'll see a survey appear on your computer screen. We do have a new survey format, so if you could please take a moment to complete the survey and share your input, we would greatly appreciate it. Your feedback helps us to continue to improve our webinar and telelearning series. In addition, you're going to receive a PDF copy of tonight's slides by email. Lastly, I just want to say thank you and have a great night, and especially thank you to Mark and Anna and Barbara for your great insight into this world of AT. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.